All right, we're starting back with our second session, and this is the April meeting of Women of the Word. And we are in Psalm 91, let's go back to 9. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. That's what we were talking about. You can't expect a habitation outcome if you have a visitation practice, attitude, mentality. That's covenant Jesus or convenient Jesus. We can't expect covenant results from one that we will only give convenient attention to. Does that make sense? Okay. So I can't expect Jesus to he's actually already finished the work, so let me rephrase that. I can't expect to enjoy the benefits of the covenant if I'm not in relationship with the benefactor, the one who has benefited me. I don't need to expect to be a beneficiary of the will if I don't know the will and don't have a relationship to the one who wrote the will. Does that say it? All right. So we're talking habitation here in Psalm 91. We're talking dwelling. We're talking abiding. We're talking John 17, John 15. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, then we have relationship. Then we have fruit being born that glorifies the Father. Okay? But disconnected from the vine, we're branches who can't bear any fruit. The life is in the vine, not the branch. But the fruit grows on the branch, not on the vine, out of the vine. You don't see fruit hanging on the vine part. You see fruit hanging on the branches. Well, Jesus said, I'm the vine. I'm the life root. And if you're grafted into me, you receive the life through you. You know, it comes from me, through me, to you, and then through you, producing fruit. This is what he's talking about. This is what Moses had in his heart. That abiding, living thing. Where I'm one with him, and he's one with me. And staying there. And not being snared and snagged and snatched by the John 10:10 thief who comes to kill, steal, and destroy. We're to live. I want to show you the rest of this. Because you've made me your refuge, you've made me your dwelling place, you're the place I run to, you're the place I live in, or I'm the place you live in, Jesus says, God says, the Holy Spirit says. No evil shall befall you. Now that's a big promise. And you're going to have to chew on it a while. That means meditate. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You know, God told Joshua over and over again, be strong. Be courageous. Joshua led the children who wouldn't go in, from the parents who wouldn't go in. He led the children who would go in. And he and Caleb hung around to take that next generation in, and it says of Joshua, he did not leave one thing undone that Moses told him to do. Not one thing. Can you imagine that? And one time, I read about a battle he was in, and he didn't have time to kill them all and finish it off. Son, stand still. And God honored it. That stretches my brain. But it excites my spirit. How about you? There are a lot of things in here that stretch my brain. But it excites my spirit. You know, it's like Abraham. It says he considered not his own body. Now that stretches my brain. How can you live in it and not consider it? You have to be diligent. You have to shut up your body and open up your spirit. Tell your body to sit down and shut up, because the spirit man, the resident, is in the house. and you're just the house. You don't run the operation. The resident does, the spirit man. But it says that Abraham considered not his own body, nor the deadness of Sarah's womb, and the fact that even when she could have children in those years of her life, she didn't have any. She was barren. And now she's been through menopause. And God says we're going to have a child. And he told me that the child was going to come through you, Sarah. Now, Sarah had some issues because she didn't hear that from God then. She heard it from Abraham. And it took her 25 years to hear it for herself and conceive. She finally heard the Lord say, no, through Sarah. She heard that, and when she heard the Lord speak, you know the story, don't you? In the tent, she was hiding behind there, listen, three came up, and one was the Lord. And he said, this time next year, Sarah will deliver. She heard it, and she laughed. He said, why did you laugh? And she said, I didn't laugh. Yes, you did. She laughed because, can you imagine? It's going to be me. That old man has known what he was talking about for 25 years. We're going to have a baby. That's funny. Okay? And she did because she heard God for herself. You can't have faith on somebody else's coattail. You got to hear God for yourself. That happens in the secret place. Okay, just because James said it doesn't make it so. When God says it to you, just because you can quote it doesn't make it so. When you hear God say it to you, it's yours. Okay, Abraham, he considered not his own body, nor the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God. Now that's where I'm talking about in this. This stretches my brain. No evil shall befall you, none. Nothing's going to come near your tent, your dwelling place. Nothing. Let's don't stagger at the promise of God. You know, that would have been one to stagger at. You're going to be 100, Sarah's going to be 90, and y'all are going to have a child. And you've never had any before. That's too big of a promise, God. You know what we're really saying when we think, when we stagger at the promises of God? The magnitude of His promises. When I see it in there, but I think, that's too good to believe. Too good to be true. That's too big for me. What I'm really saying is, I don't believe you. I don't have enough confidence in you, God, that you can do this. That's really what it's saying. So let's stagger not. I guess I'm just old enough and far enough along to say, what have I got to lose? I've got everything to lose if I don't believe the promises. And so do you. In the long run. And so do a lot of other people if we don't get a hold of this and do something with it. But we are getting hold of it. And we are here to do something with it. Let's don't consider our own bodies. We were dead in our trespasses and sin anyway. We're alive now forevermore. We can't lose. Live, I win. Die, I win. That's what Paul says. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Win, win. But while we're here, and I believe we're supposed to stay here until we're finished, okay? And I'm not finished, are you? No, we haven't begun to do all that we need to do. I want to be able to say, well, all the things you put in my heart to do, I did those, Lord. And I haven't done them all yet. And I don't believe you have either. And when I do get something done, He puts something else in there. So, we best hang around, but we better have spiritual sense enough to do some earthly good. If we're going to stay here, we don't just need to aggravate our children and take up space, do we? Let's do something for God, is what I'm saying. It's right here in this. Take this psalm and start here. Not just for you, but for everybody you know. Well, they're not going to believe me. They're not even going to hear you. You do it in the secret place. And what you do in the secret place over people is your business with God. If you speak His will in the secret place over people, He's got something to work with because the Word's out there on that now. He needs a prophet. He needs somebody to take His promises and speak them under the inspiration of God over people who don't know how to do that. Or don't even know that they can. and make a difference in this earth and bring His kingdom in earth as it is in heaven. It's not about credit. Who cares who prayed or how many? I'm just glad they did, because I'm still here. Somebody was speaking the Word of God. Who cares if they know it was you or me? God's keeping the books. Aren't you glad? And His Word tells us that's laying up treasures for later on. Who needs them here? You know, if we need this from people, oh, great, 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 great job. So glad I was here. That's it. I hope I enjoyed it, because that's it. That just finished that off, if that's what I'm here for. You understand what I'm saying? We don't do it to get the applause of men, but to think about what God thinks about what we do. You know, if He could say about us what He wrote about Joshua, you know, He told Moses, He said, you do everything I say and don't deviate from the pattern. And here are the territories for the tribes. See that they get them. And then Moses says, I'm old. I'm tired. And I'm ready to come home. But I need somebody to shepherd this flock. God said, lay your hands on Joshua. And I'm going to impart you to him. You're going to be just like he was. Because you've served him faithfully all these years. And Moses did. And God made Joshua like Moses before the people. And they followed him right into the land of promise. And he did not leave one thing undone that God told him to do. And I credit Caleb with a little bit of that. Because he said, hey, Joshua, can you imagine those two guys of a different spirit putting up with the rest of those whining Israelites, complaining, murmuring Israelites for 40 years till their sandals wore out? Well, they didn't wear out. God kept providing for them. Till they died off was the way it was, actually. They had to wait till they all died off and outlive them all and be listening to that every day, nagging, 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 griping, griping, griping. But that just tells me it can be done. So let's be of another spirit and outlast them. I don't mean people. I'm talking about all those voices that are lying and complaining and deceiving people into talking like that. Let's outlast them. And Caleb said, you know, that mountain that Moses said was mine according to God, I want it. Joshua. And Joshua said, well, go get it, old 85-year-old man. And Caleb says, I'm as well able today to go take that mountain as I was at 40 when God told me I could have it. I'm going to get it. So he went with Joshua's blessing, and he took his mountain, the one with the giants on it. And Joshua had done everything God told him to do. Caleb helped him out on that one. That's a good senior moment for you to remember. I'm as well able at 85 as I was at 40 in God. Don't stagger at the promises of God. Be like the father of our faith. Doesn't matter how big they are. You know, I've heard this. You've heard this too. I just can't wrap my brain around that. Well, quit trying. Our pea brains will never wrap around. It takes the mind of Christ to take hold of these promises. And everything in God is yes and amen, if we can believe it, that's according to His will. But guess what? We've been given the mind of Christ. We have the potential to think like Jesus if we'll just put this word in us. And then it says that Sarah, in her old age, as Hebrews 11:11, received strength to conceive because she considered him faithful who had promised. Now, I wonder if we do. That's what we need to do. And we'll conceive, even in our old age, if we consider him faithful who's promised. And it said Abraham was fully persuaded. So there they went. And then they had Isaac, and you know the rest of the story. Out of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob came all the 12 tribes of Israel. And God's still in covenant with them. And they're still on the face of the earth as a nation, which is an amazing miracle. Little bitty dot on the map. The significant superpower of the end times. Because God fights for them. Well, he fights for us too. Don't stagger at his promises. So, verse 10, no evil shall befall you. Now, I want you to hear that sometime in your spirit when something's coming after you. I want you to hear God to say to you, I said, no evil shall befall you. Don't you worry about that. You keep going. I want that for us. I want to hear God talk to us that way. Every one of these promises, I want them to come up in our spirit and they'll come to life. And when they come to life, they're ours and there's nothing the enemy can do with it then. Because you just got bigger than he was. When David cut off Goliath's head, tens of thousands of songs started being sung about David. So many that it made Saul look pretty pathetic as a king. His fame went everywhere. He got a whole lot bigger than Goliath when he took his head off. Nor shall any plague come near your dwelling, your tent. Let me give you a scripture on that one just to add to that. I think I wrote it down. It's in Proverbs. No, I didn't. I think it's Proverbs 14:11. Let me look. When I get this whole book in me, I won't have to look up things, will I? I just tell you for sure. Yeah, okay. Proverbs 14:11. The house of the wicked will be overthrown, but the tent of the upright will flourish. That's your dwelling place, right? Well, we know if we're dwelling in the secret place, we're going to flourish. Verse 11, for he, that's a capital he, and that's God, shall give his angels charge over you. That charge there is a guard, like a hedge. Have you ever heard anybody pray a hedge around somebody? A hedge of protection? Okay, well, they're scriptural. That's all right. And if they know what they're talking about, it'll work. If they're just being religious, it won't. Neither will anything else. If it's, you know, you can learn the language of church and talk the talk. But we got to be able to walk the walk so somebody else can believe too. When they see us demonstrating the will of God in our life, then they'll listen. Talk is cheap. Show me something, right? Let me see that it's true. Demonstrate it. That's what Jesus did, so why can't we? We can. Let's do it. He shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. Keep you, guard you, hedge you in. All your ways. Let's talk about that word ways just a minute. That word is interesting. That way there, it means a road that you're walking, trodden. A trodden road, a course of life. And it can also mean activities. If you've got that, that's okay. I think I have it right here. If you're in the interlinear, and for those listening online, we just have to tell you that we have a program on the wall where we can go into Hebrew and the Greek, and we can look up words, and I try to make sure that I bring that across in a way that people who aren't sitting here with us looking at it can grasp what we're saying. This road here, this way in verse 11, right at the end of verse 11, is a life or a mode of action. Okay? A course of life or a mode of action or a road you're walking. To keep you in all your ways. To keep you on the road you're on. Now, there's only one way he can keep us. Who is that way? Yeah. Jesus is the way. If we're on his path, we're already protected, aren't we? In their hands they shall bear you up, and that's lift you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. This is the verse that Satan quoted to Jesus in the wilderness, tempting him to jump off the pinnacle of the temple. This is what Satan quoted to him. So the devil can quote scripture. And you say, well, I've never heard him good. But he does it in your thinking. So sometimes you need to make sure you understand Scripture in context, because Jesus countered that quote with, the word says, it is written. In other words, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And we already talked about that. Know the word. Know your enemy. Then it goes on to say in verse 13, you shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. The young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Well, we may be thinking, well, I don't live where there are any things like cobras and lions and things. I'm glad I don't. Well, that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about spiritual cobras, spiritual lions, spiritual scorpions that sting you and pierce you. The evil spirits that come after us who are part of Satan's league. You know, he doesn't do his work all by himself. He also has a team. But look at John 10:19. Is it Luke? Let me think just a minute. I think it's Luke. Jesus talked about this. I just want to show it to you in the New Testament. Whenever I can give you a parallel, I like to. Luke 10:19. Let's see if that's right. Yeah. Behold, Jesus said. Well, look back to verse 18. This is good news. I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. He's cast out there, cast down there, but the hard news is he's in earth doing his work. But Jesus said, behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions. And that's not talking about literal ones. That's talking about spiritual ones. In other words, principalities, ungodly forces in high places. I give you authority over that and over all the power of the enemy. So how much power does the enemy, how much is he supposed to have over us? He's not supposed to have any. And he doesn't legally, unless we yield it to him, he doesn't have it. And here's another promise we don't want to stagger at. Jesus said, nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nothing. That's a big promise, isn't it? Well, is God big enough to keep his word, or isn't he? If he's not, if I can't believe him for a promise like protection, what am I doing believing that I'm going to resurrect from the dead? I know I am. If he can resurrect a body from the dead into life eternal, he can take care of some serpents and scorpions in our way, okay? On our road. Luke 10:19. You'll trample them underfoot, Moses writes, by the Spirit. Because, now this changes up a little bit, verse 14, because this is God talking back in answer about this one who has put all his trust and faith in him. And how do I know that? Because do you see on the second line it says, upon me, with a capital M. This is God saying this. All right, so we've changed narrators now. God is saying this. Because he who in the first line, he who dwells. That's who he's talking about. Because he has set his love upon me, capital me, God. Therefore, I will deliver him. So who is the agent of execution of this will for our life? God himself, Jesus, yes. Because he has set his love upon me, that means to cling to join with, one. That's Jesus' prayer for us. Remember John 17? In other words, this is talking about that dwelling thing again. That abiding, that oneness, relationship. Not convenient, covenant. Not convenient Jesus, covenant Jesus. Because he has set his love on me, I'm his covenant, is what he's saying. I'm his covenant Jesus. Therefore, I'll deliver him. I will set him or place him on high. Because he has known my name. And see the capital M in my? This is God saying, because He knows me and because He loves me. Like in an everlasting, I'm totally yours kind of a relationship. Not in and out. In. Okay? Not up and down. Up. Certainly not down and out. Up and in. Okay? This is what Jesus is offering us. This is the covenant. Because He's known my name, He shall call upon me. And this call means to address by name. How do we call on somebody we don't know? How do we pray to a father we don't trust? How do people who are caught up in religion pray anything that gets any results? The truth of it is they mainly don't. Because they don't know who to call on. When you're sick, you call on God Healer. That's who He is. It's not His name. It's who He is. When you're lonely, you call on God who loves me. I'm accepted in the Beloved. That's who you call. Or when you know somebody else is. When you're bound, you call on God the Deliverer. When you're broken, you call on God the Mender. And I could go on and on and on. When you're bruised, He's already covered that. He's taken that on Himself through Jesus. Okay? That's Isaiah 53, 54. Because He has set His love upon me. And you know what, y'all? I think we're just beginning to understand how to love back. I mean, the love of God's been shed abroad in our hearts. And without that, we could never love Him back. We can't do for Him what He's done for us. Because it's the lesser coming to the greater to receive covenant. We couldn't do what Jesus has done. But He's done what He could do. What He wants us to do is receive it. Receive Him. Receive all that He has given His life to give us. And just love Him in return. All I have to give is me. That's all He wants, is you. Love Him. Thank Him. Thanksgiving is a very important aspect of prayer in the closet. Thankful ones we should be. Thankful. Not always asking. Certainly not asking for ourselves, but speaking the word over ourselves and others all the time and being thankful because, well, I don't have to ask Him to heal people. His stripes healed them. I just thank Him that His stripes healed them and pray that their spiritual eyes are open to realize it and receive it. And me too. He shall call upon me and I will answer Him. Pay attention to Him. Isn't it great to know God answers us? Now, one of the scriptures we started out in the very first session in January was in 1 John 5. I want to read it to you again, 14 and 15. Here's your confidence when you're talking to your Father. First John 5:14. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. God hears His own will when it's being spoken. He recognizes it. You know, when He says, put me in remembrance of my word, it's not because He's forgotten. It's because He wants to hear it coming out of our mouth so that we know it. And He knows we know it, so that He can do something with it. Okay? And if we know, verse 15, 1 John 5, if we know that He hears us, now what is it He hears? Anything according to His will, He hears. And if we know He hears us, then whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've asked of Him. How's that for a promise? Pray according to my will, and I will hear you. And I will answer you. And you shall have the thing you've asked for. That's a promise right here in the Old Testament in Psalm 91. Because He set His love upon me, Therefore, I will deliver him. I'll set him on high because he's known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. That's a happy thought. Tightness is what that word means. I'll be with him in tight places. You ever been in a tight place? We call it being between a rock and a hard place. He's right there with you because he's in you. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him. Fill him to satisfaction with long life and show him, demonstrate to him my all-encompassing salvation, which is deliverance, victory, provision, protection, healing, peace. You name it. It's salvation. And Jesus has already paid for it. It's ours. God says, I'll show that. I'll demonstrate salvation in the life of this person. Now, I see in this psalm a progression, a growth. And we talked about that in the first session. We grow in grace. But if you noticed as I read this, and you may or may not have, there are three times in this psalm that God says, I will deliver him. But in the Hebrew, it's three different words. So I want us to look at this tonight as we're closing out, because I believe it shows us something of a progression. The first deliver is in verse 3. So Annette, if you will, with the interlinear, verse 3 says, surely I will deliver you. And I'm going to say something so people don't think the recording cut off. All right, and this deliver is the Hebrew word. It's 5337 in the Strong's Concordance, and it means to snatch away. To snatch away. I just want you to hold on to that piece for a minute. I'll snatch away to deliver you. The second deliver is in verse 14. 91:14. Psalm 91:14. And it says, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. And this deliver means to slip out or escape or causatively to deliver, to escape. I'll cause him to escape. Just hold on to that. And the third deliver is in verse 15. He'll call on me and I'll answer him. I'll be with him in trouble. And I'll deliver him and honor him. And this third deliver here is 2502 in the Strong's. And it means to pull off or strip, but by implication, to deliver, to equip for fight, to present, and to strengthen. I want you to hold on to equip for fight and strengthen. And I want to talk to you about this progression. Because I believe that we can grow up in the secret place of Psalm 91. Think about it this way. When we are ignorant and we're blindsided by the enemy, it's the mercy of God that snatches us out. He snatches us out sometimes. To deliver us, he snatches us out. And when you're snatched out or snatched up, you don't have a thing to do with that. Do you understand? If somebody snatches you out, they did it all. You just went with it. You understand me? Snatched. When God snatches me, I don't do it. He does it. And it's his mercy that snatches me out of whatever it is. But there comes a time when he gives me a way of escape. There's a scripture that says there's no temptation that's taken you that's not common to every man. But God, who is faithful, will make the way of escape for you. But an escape means, all right, I'm busting you out, but you have to come out. Just imagine a cell, and you're in it. And your buddy comes and says, all right, you know, I've got the hole. I've made you a hole. Come on. But you have to escape. That means it was a partnership. He will make the way of escape, but I have to get it and go with it. I have to do the escaping. When the angel brought, was it Peter, out of the jail? He walked with the angel. Okay? The angel didn't snatch him. They walked together. The angel moved the gate, but Peter had to walk with him. So there is a co-ownership of that kind of deliver. Is this making sense? We did it together. You made the way, and I took it. But the third deliver here is, I will equip you for the fight. There's the warrior level. I'm going to arm you with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, shield of faith, helmet of salvation. We'll look at this. It's in Ephesians 6. I'm going to put my equipment on you. I'm going to present you as the champion. You're going to fight for me. And you'll deliver others. Okay? You with me? Snatched out is all God. A way to escape and me taking it, that's God and me. Him equipping me and putting me in a battle is me representing Him. It's another level of responsibility. I'm a warrior now, and I'm equipped for battle. I don't have to be snatched out like somebody who doesn't know how to fight. Now, our warfare is not carnal, so don't misunderstand the fight word. I'm not fighting the devil. He's defeated. But we're armed and dangerous in the spirit. The warriors of God are. And if we're going to dwell in the secret place, then God expects us to grow up and be responsible, not just for our own life, but for the lives of others as well. So we're here to explore this territory that God's promised of being victorious in Him. And we don't have to fight for the victory because we already have it. We help the victory come to earth that's already been won for us, as it is in heaven. In our lives, we demonstrate it, and for other people in our prayer lives. That's really the purpose of the closet. I mean, it's not that we don't need things and ask for things and the Lord take care of things. He does. And He told us to ask in His name. Jesus said, ask the Father. You have not because you ask not. But there comes a place in that secret, or a time in that secret place where I know I'm going to be taken care of on the back side of this mess in somebody else's life while I'm helping and speaking the Word of God. He's going to be taking care of me. It's like Jesus' life. You know, the first time He preached a message in His hometown and said, this day, this scripture, this was good news He was preaching. You know, beauty for ashes. I've come to bring you life. This day, the scripture's fulfilled in your ears. And it says they got angry and they took Him off to throw Him off the cliff. But He walked right through the midst of them. You know why? He was in the secret place. And they really couldn't touch Him until the fullness of time. And He even told Pilate then. He said, don't you know? Why won't you open your mouth? Don't you know I have the power to take your life or give it back to you? And He said, no man takes my life.
I'll lay it down.
So let's start thinking on the possibility that no man takes my life. Not with his words, not with his deeds. Well, you've got 6 months to live. Those are just words. That's just a Goliath talking. No, I'll take your sword and cut your own head off with it. I don't even have one, but I don't need one because the word is my sword. Head's just authority, okay? So don't be getting gory on me there. No, I'll cut your authority off in my life is what I'll do with the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You won't have the last say in my life. I'll lay it down when it's time. When it's time. And I'll take it back up again. Jesus said that, but you know what? We can say that too. I'll lay this body down. But I won't lay my life. My life is eternal now in the Lord, and yours is too. It'll raise up again. It won't take 3 days anymore because hell's been conquered and defeated. Jesus had some work to do during those 3 days. Ours is immediate. How about that for a promise? You talk about a secret place now. Elevation. Woo-hoo. I love y'all. I want us to live here. And I believe we can encourage one another in the things that come against us to get here and stay here in our thinking and in our responses to the things that come. Things come. Jesus said in this world, you shall have tribulation. Pressure. That's all that means. But don't forget the rest of it. Be of good cheer. I got good news for you. Is that what you have for people? Is that what I have for people? I got some good news for you. Jesus said, I've overcome the world. Now, if I'm in Him and He's in me, then I have too. It may not look like it sometimes, but that doesn't make any difference. I know it's the truth. So, I'm in, and y'all are in. Let's walk this thing out. For God's sake, for His name's sake. And let's represent Him well like Jesus has. We can do that. That's our destiny, to be conformed to the image of Jesus. And I believe there's so much strength in the fellowship of hearts in this room that we can encourage one another. That's one reason we're here. You don't have to do it on your own. For one thing, God will never forsake you. Jesus will never leave you. And the Holy Spirit took the assignment of living in you and me. He can't leave us. We're sealed by Him. Isn't that a happy thought? But let's show that same compassion and love for one another. Because Jesus said, this is the way all men are going to know that you're my disciples. By the love that you show each other. So, let's grow up in the secret place. And let's rescue some people because that's what Jesus does. Let's help. Amen. Father, we just thank You that You have blessed us indeed. You have enlarged our territory, and we're so grateful. You expand my borders every time I look in Your Word. It stretches my brain, but it excites my heart. I thank You, Lord, that You have put Your hand on us and kept Your hand on us to keep us from evil, that we don't cause pain. There's enough pain in this world to go around, and we want to be the remedy for it. To the best of our ability in the realm of influence that we have. So thank You that that's Your will too. Thank You, Lord, for shining Your face upon us, Your countenance upon us, and giving us peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you and give you peace. Rise up in us, O Lord. Let Your enemies be scattered, and let those who hate You flee before You. As Your kingdom comes in earth. as it is in heaven. Amen. Thank you, Lord.